Have you ever lost something of great value? Have you ever, you know, there's something and you turn the place upside down looking for it and you just can't find it and it's gone and it's a sad thing. When you lose something that meant a lot to you. I can think of a number of things in my life that I have misplaced and lost and, you know, looking back nostalgically, you know, I think, wow, wouldn't I love to have that still? But I misplace it. I lose things. And there are some things that are of great value. Most of the stuff that I've lost was of little value, mostly sentimental value. But there are some things that are of great value that people lose. And wow, it could be devastating to them when they realize that they have lost these things. The Bible records for us some things that have been lost through history. And I want us to look at least four of those things that the Bible records for us. And then I want to make application because those same things that were lost back in the text are still lost today by us. And I want us to appreciate how that we need to give care not to lose these things because of their great worth. The first thing that I want to mention that was once lost, there are four points to this lesson if you're following along. But the first thing doesn't actually come from the book of Luke, but the other three will. But the first thing is a lost book. Have you ever lost a book? Have you ever had to go to the library and pay a fine because I can't find it. I've looked everywhere for it. Usually you pay the fine that you'll go home and it's sitting on your end table. You know, that's kind of the way it works. But maybe you've lost a book. Well, a book was once lost. You can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was the king at the time. He was a good king. And Israel, Judah, was in a mess at this time. They were idolatrous. The people of God were serving idols. They had built up false deities and they were worshiping. And it's just so, you know, you wouldn't expect that from the people who claim to be the children of God. The pagan nations, yes, but not God's people. But they had adopted the practices of the pagans. And Josiah, when he came into power, he said, enough of this. This isn't right. We've got to get back to the Word of God. Where's the Word of God? Did you know they lost it? There, you know, they didn't have like printing press like we had today. And there was a copy that they kept in the temple and it was gone. It was lost. They couldn't find the book of the law. Can you imagine that? That's like a church you go into and you can't find a Bible anywhere. Where's a Bible? Well, they couldn't find it. Well, eventually some men, some priests, found the copy of the book of the law. And they brought it to Josiah and said, look what we found. And Josiah read it. And maybe the fact that it was lost gives you some indication as to why they were so off religiously, why they were doing so many crazy things. Because they didn't have the book of the law. They didn't have the Lord's instructions telling them what to do. And so Josiah had read the book of the law, and boy, he in earnest made plans to set things right, and he tore down the high places, and he ran off the priests that were involved in that and got rid of them, and just a host of things. But I want us to consider that concept of losing the book of the law. Could that be lost today? Probably not in the sense that, you know, we've got a dozen copies, you know, strewn throughout our houses. We have them in our cars. We, you know, the Bible, we've got Bibles. And if you don't have one, we'll get you one. But it's very unlikely that this is going to become scarce where somebody's going to look around and say, where's a Bible? I wish I had a Bible. There are Bibles everywhere. But that doesn't mean that the book of the law hasn't been lost. You know, there are churches you can go to where, in essence, the book of the law has been lost. They don't preach the Bible. They don't tell people what God says to do. They give a watered down version of something that has so little power in it that it's not able to convict people of sin or to change their life, to convince them to live a different way. Brethren, we need to find the book of the law if that's where we are. I don't believe that's the case here. Obviously, we have teachers and we have a congregation that wouldn't allow that to happen here. We have a leadership that wouldn't allow that to happen here. If we're gathering together for some reason other than to discuss the book of the law and how that gives guidance to our lives and how we apply it to our lives, then what are we doing? You know, join the Kiwanis Club or you know, the Lions Club or something else, you know, if you're just looking for social activity. This is completely different. We gather together to praise and to honor and glorify God, and we know how to do that by following the book of the law. But I'm telling you, the book of the law can be lost. I was preaching a number of years ago in a congregation where there was a church across town that in essence had lost the book of the law. And it was a sad situation. There was a man who came to our services on one occasion. And when I got done preaching, I went back to the back foyer. And this guy was a big guy. He was about as tall as I was. And a middle-aged man, a little bit older. And he was back in the lobby crying. And so when I finished preaching, I went on back over to him and I said, what's the matter? And he had to get his composure and he said, for the last X amount of years, I haven't heard the Bible preached. And to come here and to hear the Bible, it wasn't me. It was the Word of God that convicted him. And he said, you know, it's so refreshing. And I don't know why I endured what I endured for so long. I know a church in Missouri on one occasion, in western Missouri, that a man had attended there for nearly a year and never at the end of a service heard, what do I do to respond to the message that was just preached? You know, we preach a sermon and then the preacher would just get down and sit down and no invitation, no instruction about what is the gospel, how do you obey it. Nothing was given in a year's time. It was just platitudes and live your life better, but never a call to come to Jesus. Those people have lost the book of the law. They've forgotten the purpose of what we should be about. The book of the law was found, fortunately, and it brought about reform. And that's what it'll do. We need to keep the book of the law before us. We need not lose the book of the law. And if we do, we're in deep trouble. We become prey to almost anything. So the book of the law is something that was once lost, and it is of great value. Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. It's this book that tells us how to get free from our sin and to enjoy a home in heaven. I can't afford to lose this, nor can you. We need to make sure that we do not lose the book of the law. But let's go to the second point. There's not only a lost book that we read about in the Bible, but in Luke chapter 2, there's an interesting account of a lost Christ. Do you remember the story? I'm sure you do. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus, along with his mother and his father, not in an earthly sense or not that he was begatted by him, but Joseph, they were going to Jerusalem for the Passover. They had been to Jerusalem and they were leaving and going back home and they got a day's journey away from Jerusalem. Jesus is just 12 years old at this time. I don't know. I should have thought of somebody who's 12 years old, but it'll give you some ideas to the age. And Mary thought that Jesus was Joseph, and Joseph thought Jesus was with Mary, and they finally go a day's journey, and I guess they're settling down for the night and setting up tents and whatever it was that they did on this journey. And they get together, and they say, where's Jesus? I don't know. I thought you had them. I don't have them. I thought you had them. And they had that conversation, which I'm sure we have had too. And so they go back to Jerusalem. Remember, they're a day's journey away. It's going to take them another day to get back. And they search for him a day. The text says on the third day they found Jesus. They found him in the temple reasoning with the lawyers. And his statement was, of course, you remember, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? I can only imagine what Mary's reaction was when she found him and found him okay. Jerusalem's a big place. And where in the world do you find them? And I can imagine how panicked they were. I've told you this before, I think, but you know, when I was a kid, since my mom is here, I'll tell this. I was riding my bike down to the end of the block and I hit a car. I mean, I hit the car. It didn't hit me. And I ran right into the side of it and we wrecked and the guy stopped and my friend ran back to the house and just went inside and told my mom that I got run over by a car. My mom runs a block down the street, sees me standing and I'm fine, and paddles me. You know, she spanks me. You know, I wonder if Mary, you know, like, just the, don't even know how to react. You know, such a rush of emotion. But Jesus just said, you know, I'm doing my Father's business. What would it be like to lose the Christ? Mary and Joseph are not the only people who have ever lost Jesus. There are other people who have lost Jesus. There may be some folks sitting here listening to me this morning who have lost Jesus. Well, lost him in the sense that he can do them no good. They've received, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 1, they've received the grace of God in vain. You do understand that just because you're a Christian, just because there was a time in your life that you confessed your faith in Christ and were buried with Christ in the waters of baptism and you rise up and now you're a part of the family of God, just because you've done that doesn't mean that you can't lose Jesus. People lose Jesus. They let distance come between them. They're no longer following. They're just traveling in a general direction. And we know how that'll end up in being in two different places. Christ can still be lost today through, well, failing to apply and understand the scriptures. The Bible tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know you got one of these. And probably more than one of these. And they sit around your house on various tables and they may sit in your office or on your bedstand. I get that and that's good. But when's the last time you've studied one of these? We're to give diligence to the Word of God. We're to study the Word of God. And when we don't, we end up losing Jesus. Distance comes between us. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know the word of God. And how can I have a relationship with someone? The only way that I know them is through the word. How do I know Jesus? Well, he lived and died 2,000 years before I came on the scene. If I'm going to have a relationship with him, it's going to have to be through study of who he was and what he wanted me to do and to be. If I don't engage in that study, then I've in essence lost Christ because I don't think I'm going to end up where he wants me unless I get to know him. Sin and rebellion causes us to lose Jesus. We sometimes just, you know, dig our heels in and say, I don't want to do that. I like this better. And there are a lot of people who, like Mary and Joseph, have lost Jesus, and that's tragic. Jesus is our hope, our only hope. He's our hope of glory, the Colossian letter says. Without him in you, you have no hope of glory. So we can lose a book today like they did in the days of Josiah. We can lose a Christ, a Savior, like they did in Luke chapter 2. We can also lose an opportunity, as we read about in Luke chapter 16. Turn in your Bible to Luke 16. I'm sure we all remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man fared sumptuously every day. But there was a beggar who was seated at his gate or placed at his gate, and he just sat there every day begging for money, begging for alms, for somebody, just somebody, please come by and give me enough that I can buy enough sustenance to survive another day. And here's this rich man who walks by him, no doubt, every day by his gate and does nothing for him, apparently. The rich man and Lazarus both die. The rich man lifts up his eyes in torment. Lazarus is being comforted in the bosom of Abraham. And Abraham tells the rich man, you know, there was a time when you had everything and he had nothing. Now, guess what? Roles are reversed. You have nothing and he has all he needs. Could it be that we lose opportunities like that rich man? He had an opportunity every day to be compassionate to this guy, and there's no indication that he was. And there, every day we have opportunities to reach out to people with the gospel of Christ and change eternities, to change destinies. And for one reason or another, we don't do it. What are those reasons? I know what they are all too well, because I use those excuses just like you do. The other day, I got word from someone who lives in another state, and they told me that they were dying, that they have something that is terminal, and they don't have but a limited amount of time, and it was my intention. In fact, I talked to John Hofarth about it. I said, it's my intention. I've got to talk to this person. This person is not a Christian, but is a friend of mine. And they have written and told me that they are in it with an illness that is going to take their life and not too far in the distant future. And I was telling John, I've got to use the opportunity that I have to at least say what needs to be said. And I was struggling with how I do that and so forth. Well, I had that conversation several weeks past. I have another conversation with John. He said, so how'd it go with the lady? I had totally forgotten. It had completely slipped my mind. I had done nothing to this person that I know is headed to eternity unprepared, and I let that slip and escape my mind. I had missed an opportunity, not completely, because of John's reminder. Those kind of things happen to us. We miss opportunities to do good. And I know, and I get it, not everything is an opportunity. A number of years ago, there was an eldership that was wanting us to work with a congregation someplace, and we were talking about some of those things, and they said, well, you know, what we don't expect for you to spend any time in the office. What we want you to do, we want you to be out at Walmart and just, you know, like hang out and meet people at Walmart, kind of like an unpaid greeter, and like, you know, just get Bible studies and invite people to church and everything. And that's not my idea of opportunities necessarily. Maybe somebody can make that work, but you know, it never struck me as an opportunity to like pull up by somebody next to their buggy and say, oh, saltine, what aisle'd you get those in and where do you go to church? You know, that doesn't seem to work for me. That's why women carry mace, I think, you know, for people that do that kind of thing. But I get it. Not everything is an opportunity. But surely, in a lifetime of events and in a lifetime of interaction with other people who are not Christians, there are opportunities. And maybe our excuses, like, oh, it just wasn't a good time, maybe those are just that, excuses. Somewhere along the way, we need to speak a word for Jesus. we need to stand up and take advantage of the opportunities that we have to do good and to say good and to teach good. And I'm afraid that sometimes opportunities are still lost. That rich man had a man right there at his gate that he walked by every day. And we have next door neighbors. And we have co-workers and classmates. Surely in the course of a lifetime, we will find opportunities if we're looking. And then the fourth thing is this, a lost soul. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13, or beginning in verse 16, the Bible tells of a rich man who had done very well. In fact, he had done so well that he began to say, you know, I need bigger barns. I need a bigger place to store all my stuff in. I've got so much. And he began to make bigger barns. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to be bigger barns. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up. You know, you're doing fine. You're ready for retirement. Don't misunderstand what Jesus is teaching in this. He's not condemning preparedness. He's not condemning being rich. He's not saying don't make plans for your future. He's not saying you can't build bigger barns. Here's what he's saying. And he says it in the very last verse, verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The problem with this rich man is not that he was rich and that he was building bigger things and had laid up a really good retirement. The problem is he wasn't rich toward God. You can be as rich as you want to be, but if you're poor toward God, well, as Jesus said, or as God said, verse 20, fool. How can you be so foolish? This night, your soul will be required of you. And then whose will these things be? You see, the foolishness was, I've got all this comfort and I'm all prepared. I've got my retirement plan. I've worked till I'm X amount. I've got my pension. I've got all this stuff and I've got my house paid off or the mortgage is down to a manageable level. I am set. Not if you're not rich toward God. Because it's foolish to not see beyond this life. Some people lose their soul over failing to consider what really matters in life. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing. So those are your four things that I read in Scripture. Three of them are lost in the book of Luke. In the past, the Word of God has been lost. Jesus himself has been lost. Opportunities have been lost. And, well, sadly, souls have been lost. Are those things still not being lost today? You know, recover that book of the law. Dust it off. Pull it out of the closet. Find it and study it. It is the key to knowledge and to spiritual revival in your life. Have you been lost to Christ because he went one direction and you went another? You need to find him again. Initial obedience, well, that's good as far as it goes, but you've got to follow him. He's your Lord. He's your master. You can't go your own way after you've had him forgive you of your past sins. You have to live for him, make him your Lord. Don't lose Jesus. He's your only Savior. Don't lose your opportunities to minister, to speak about Jesus to people who need to hear him. Someone in your life, and I don't know who it was or how it happened, but somebody taught you about Jesus. Maybe you need to go home and say a thank you to to those people. If they're still alive, maybe you need to get on the phone or get on Facebook or get on, email, write them a letter and say, thank you for many years ago pointing me to Jesus. You've made all the difference in my eternity. We need to do that and be that person for others. Don't lose your soul. It could be that this morning as I'm talking, that's you. You're rich maybe in a lot of things, but you don't have a relationship with God. You're bankrupt. There's sin in your life. You're not forgiven. You haven't obeyed the gospel. You've walked away from God. You have no interest in His Word or have had none. If you don't want to be that way anymore, if you don't want to be lost, but you want to be found, and in finding Him and the book and regaining your soul, you've gained heaven. If that's where you are this morning, I hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity that I hope you don't lose. If you're not a child of God, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you haven't done that, use this opportunity right now to obey the gospel. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful and you have sin in your life that is unrepented of and unconfessed, right now you have an opportunity to say, I've been wrong and I don't want to be there anymore. I want to do better. Don't lose the opportunity. If you need to respond, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.